Definitely. I mean, even from the age of, what, 6 months old, I was in the pushchair watching him at the motocross track.
We've never had a problem with the manufacturer, have we?
No, I mean,
We are honest, though. We do say what we think.
I've always, loved motorbikes and the smell and the sound, the noise. So it was in my blood, I think.
It has to satisfy my soul. It's got to be a beautiful object that I want to look back at and think, oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? And I think it's something you get more from old bikes, classic bikes, than you do from newer bikes.
It has to give me the fizz, and that is something that's hard to describe. But when you get on a bike that does give you that, you just can't stop thinking about it.
I said to him in a video, he's got to stop falling in love with bikes, it's getting expensive.
Yeah.
Hello there, and welcome to Full Chat with me, David Prutton.
And me, Ewan Thomas, celebrating all things we love about being on two wheels. Full Chat is powered by Bikesure. As the UK's largest independent motorcycle insurance broker, they will tailor a quote to your exact needs, helping you save money on your annual bike, scooter, or moped insurance.
Don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or you can press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Now, for the first time ever on Full Chat, I'm really pleased to say today's episode is plural. Yes, we have two guests for the price of one. We're very lucky indeed. It's a father and son combo. They've got galactic figures on YouTube and Instagram. They are all about soul, character, style. Motorbikes is through their blood. They absolutely love it. We're so pleased they're here. It is, of course, Mr. Darcy and Old Man.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
You're scraping the bottom of the barrel now.
Hey, don't you worry. In a minute, you'll see that you are chatting to us. That's how we'll establish that, fellas. Fellas, thank you so much. I mean, as Ewan said, it's wonderful to have this dynamic on here. But to establish it from my point of view of getting my head right of how we talk to each other, are we going to go Darcy and James? Because just to chuck out Old Man, I mean, I could be talking to you, James, or I could be talking to Ewan. So let's just clarify that.
Yeah, that's fine.
So then, come on, the talkers. I mean, the dynamic of this, Darcy, working with the old fella, with James, with your dad. What's it like?
Good question. Yeah, it's good fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to take control of him a bit.
Yeah, he censors me. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is good. And sometimes, he comes up with some wacky ideas and I have to say, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah. otherwise, brilliant ones.
Yeah.
Whatever I've watched of your stuff, it's so good. I mean, I can while away hours and days and weeks looking at YouTube and your content specifically. It's that dynamic between the two of you, I think. It's a little bit niche. It's your USP. But obviously, there's the warmth there from those family ties. The point that you made there, Darcy, about keeping him in check, is that a tough one? Is that a hard gig to have?
It depends. Sometimes it can be because occasionally he gets an idea very firmly in his head. So you have to just let him do it. And then go, yeah, I told you so afterwards.
Yeah. I think I've learned my lessons.
I was going to ask as well, in terms of, is there an alpha male between you? And in terms of how the channel was born, because I think I'm right in saying it was James started off and then Darcy, you've come along and you've got in on the action as well. And as Prot said, the dynamics between the both of you, the chemistry is obviously there and it's lovely to see. I mean, I loved hanging out with my dad as a kid, on the back of his motorbike, but to think to do a podcast and work together, that must be really nice. So who's going to take the credit for your success so far?
It's definitely 50-50, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Darcy's idea originally because obviously being younger, watching YouTube and YouTubers, he thought, that we could do something like that. But then he didn't have his license, so he was too young. So let's get it started. So obviously it was me riding. Darcy was in the videos too, talking about the bikes as well.
Yeah.
It's sort of grown from that really, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously at the time I was an awkward teenager, so yeah. I tried not to be on camera.
Yeah, true.
I suppose that's the tough thing about what that dynamic is, because it is all kind of your passion, your idea, your impetus. It feels like you've both got to grow at the same time, doing the same thing, working through the pitfalls and the perils, but also enjoying the bits that maybe surprisingly you went, oh, well, that went really well. Let's do more of that. I really enjoyed doing that. Is that how it's been together, sharing it and growing together?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Always a learning curve, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. I mean, we're quite experimental. We do try different things. Some things have worked, some things haven't, and then we chop and change. So it's not always easy, but I think we've sort of found our niche now and our direction.
We often speak to people on here and we sort of say, you know, how did you get into bikes then? You know, a lot of people do say it was my dad or it was my uncle or my granddad or a bigger brother. But I suppose, as you said there, Darcy hadn't passed his test, but it was always going to be, was it not, following your dad's footsteps in terms of that love of motorbikes?
Definitely. I mean, even from the age of, 6 months old, I was in the pushchair watching him at the motocross track.
Yeah.
So I've always, you know, loved motorbikes and the smell and the sound, the noise. So it was in my blood, I think.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, so take him along. And I had an ex-army Land Rover with a trailer and we'd put the bike on the back and he'd come along and in the sort of carry cot thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always came along and watched and, you know, he just loved it.
I think that's really interesting what you just mentioned when you said the word, the smells then. I love that because a lot of people who aren't bikers would just think, oh, that's probably quite cool, a mode of transport, but it's not. It's so much more than that. It's the senses that you expose when you're riding, isn't it? We love it, don't we, Prats? We speak to everyone, they say, it's the smell, it's the noise, it's the feeling of the air, it's the atmosphere. It's so different from driving a car. I mean, it's nothing like being behind a steering wheel. There's something so magical about being around motorbikes.
Yeah, and even temperature. I mean, I noticed that when I was 17, I had a 125, which I used all the time as my only means of transport. And you'd go along, you'd go, you know, down into a sort of a bit of a valley and over a river. Then you feel the temperature drop just as you go near the river. And so you, not only the smells, the temperatures and all that sort of thing. Yeah, you notice everything, don't you?
Mm. Yeah, that's really made me feel quite nostalgic, that, James, you said. Because it is that you drop down, because if you're out in the summer, and you know that you're going to feel that warmth on your body as you get up and away, you know what I mean, away from the shade. And it's a real kind of meandering relationship with the elements, isn't it? And that sense of 1 minute, you know you're going to be cold, but you're going to be warm in just a few minutes' time. It really does wedge you to the bike. And, Jim, you know, from your background then, because obviously the channel being called Mr. Darcy and the old man's obviously been a young man at one stage. So what was the young man doing before he became the old man on YouTube?
I've done many things. I was an estate agent for some years. I used to sell country houses. I was based in Barnet for a long time.
Oh, they're like the big type of estate type things?
Yeah, I mean, proper.
Wow.
I mean, I used to sell houses in Hadleywood, Arkley, Totteridge and Hertfordshire.
Beautiful.
I mean, some of them, multi-acre estates, houses that then were probably 2.5 million. Today would be 25 million.
Hey, listen, don't be fooled by Prats pretending. Oh, what does an estate look like? Estate. He's in one right now in Harrogate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, tell you that.
So I did that for a number of years, which is fabulous. Then I messed up and I got fired. I did. And then because I used to work with the photographer that did the photos of the houses, and they went into photography. So I started doing photos of nice houses for estate agents. So I did that for some years. Which is kind of where the photography element of our channels come from, mm-hmm. because I like the artistic side. So we always sort of film in nice locations. We know how to work a camera. And, you know, we want to make it visually appealing as well as interesting about motorbikes. So that's kind of how we do it.
So your love affair of motorbikes for yourself, like Pratt said, you haven't always been referred to as the old man. When did it start for you? Was it your father who got you into? So, because when you mentioned earlier about, you know, you had a 125 and that was your mode of transport, that made literally, I got goosebumps, because I used to have an old TZR 125 and I loved that bike and I went absolutely everywhere on it. And for me, it was always about bikes first. I passed my bike test way before my car test. And when did that love affair for bikes start for you then?
Well, my dad was a motorcyclist. So he was like one of the, not ton up boys, but he used to ride around on Nortons and old BSAs and stuff, right. No helmet, fag in his mouth. He was a bit of a bruiser. So he was telling me stories about that. And one of his friends, his son had a Suzuki 125 motocross bike, a scrambler, a proper scrambler. And they had a big house in Little Bado in Essex, like 5 acre garden. And I was about six. I used to jump on the back of his bike, hold on to him, and he was about 12. He used to just hare around the garden through the you know, the ditches and up onto the lawn, down the steps, and I'd be hanging on for dear life on the back, but loving every second of it. So that's kind of how it started for me. And then my dad bought for me, I think when I was about 8, the same friend's first motorbike, which was a Honda ST70, which they now call a Dax. So I used to ride that around farms. Again, another friend of dad's had a big farm. So I used to ride down the farm tracks, across the stubble field, through the ditches. That was my life. I loved it. So it's been with me right from the start. So it's never left me, really. There's been gaps where I haven't had bikes, but mostly all my life I've had bikes. I've always been fascinated more by off-road bikes, really, in my early days than now, which was more road bikes.
I love the word, because it's always a gap, isn't it? It's never, I'm done with bikes. It's, I'm done with bikes for a little bit now. I need a little break, not a break, or I might need to take a break, or there might need to be a little gap here where there's no bike, but I'll always get back to it. That's always in the back of your head, isn't it? So then just to bring it right bang up to date with the channel and what you're doing now, and you mentioned road bikes, James, and Darcy, when it comes to being able to be in a position to talk about motorcycles, be new ones or kind of reviewing what's to come, how does that actually work? Because Ewan and I have spent many a chat just reveling in how great it would be for people to give you bikes to ride for a bit, and then you give your honest opinion. Do you go looking for them? Do they come looking for you?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I suppose the first bike we actually got from a manufacturer, we had about 5,000 subscribers, didn't we? It was a small channel. But we reached out to them. We sort of emailed all the different manufacturers and the PR agencies that deal with it. And what was it? It was a Royal Enfield, wasn't it? Himalayan.
Yeah, Royal Enfield Himalayan. We say it the Indian way. So, but not Himalayan. But yeah, it's...
There was a split second there. I've been saying it wrong. I'll take you two on that one. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, we're going with that because they've got over a billion people there saying Himalayan. So.
Sheer weight of numbers suggests that would be the right way to say it.
So yeah, that did really well, didn't it? So yeah, we suddenly thought, because I had a Harley. So we started out with my Harleys. We used to go to the local dealership and start reviewing Harleys as well. So we were probably really a Harley channel to begin with. But then I think doing that Royal Enfield, then because the viewers were different and, you know, pretty popular bikes, we sort of thought, okay, we'll do more of that. I mean, we tried a bit of everything. So, you know, Triumphs and all sorts.
Hondas and...
Everything. We've ridden every sort of bike you can imagine, really. But the more we ride, the more we've been focused to what we really like in motorcycles, which is interesting.
And I said in the introduction about your literal gazillions of views you've had on YouTube and Instagram. So I'm assuming a manufacturer, do they loan you a bike slightly hesitant, slightly nervous, thinking that, listen, they could really help our sales if they love this. But likewise, if you don't like a bike, you're both perfectly honest and you're in your own right to be so. Have you ever fallen out of a manufacturer where they've given you a loan bike and you've reviewed it, maybe not too complimentary if you genuinely don't like it? I mean, how does that work when you give it back if you know you're going to do a bit of an iffy review?
We've never had a problem with the manufacturer, have we?
No.
We are honest, though. We do say what we think.
Yeah.
We're not being nasty, but, you know, we try and be objective. So if something that we don't think is right, we'll say, with the hope that maybe the manufacturer will say, well, okay, we could change that and make an improvement. So that's kind of where we're coming from in our heads.
Yeah. They've never expressed whether they're one way or the other, but
so it should be right.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I think we're right.
It's still going on, and it's still a success.
Yeah,
What I do love about it is, and we've had the pleasure on here, fellas, to talk to so many wonderful different guests from all different spectrums of what motorcycling is. But yours is, because I'm not remotely techie, I can tighten up bolts, and that's about it. I leave the other stuff to people that know far more about it than I, and there's loads of them. But that sense of what it is to ride a motorcycle, how a bike makes you feel, what it makes you think, that's what really draws me into what you two talk about. Because it's about the soul and the passion of what that is, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you want to say anything on that?
Yeah. I mean, for us, it's not about gadgets or gizmos and screens and specs.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, the sound, the feeling of the engine, the way it looks. I mean, the way it looks has to be the first thing, because if it doesn't look nice, it's like, I don't want to ride it.
Such a good point. Such a simple point as well, Darcy.
Yeah. But I think it's kind of, I guess, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of bikes that we don't particularly like the look of these days, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, design has gone down a funny road, really. So what we think of as a motorbike is the sort of bikes that we tend to do mostly. Mm. But there's a lot of designs, features on motorbikes that I don't know how they've gone that far down what we'd say is the wrong road. Mm. You know, because if you look at bikes from the 1950s and 60s, they were perfect.
Yeah.
When they had perfect mudguards, they were perfectly proportioned. They were stylish. They weren't too heavy. They weren't chunky. They were beautiful machines, practical in every way. Mm-hmm. And motorcycle designs kind of moved to a very different place. Well, we find it hard to understand sometimes, don't we? Yeah. He's got a sense of me now. He was brain ticking.
I think that's true of cars as well, isn't it? I think people are trying to sometimes, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I agree. I've got an old customized Harley and I absolutely love it. Listen, it's not as comfortable as many bikes out there, but it's different and it looks cool and it's original. You know, what I like about it is quite cool. But with your channel, what I think is really refreshing to see as well, like, for example, if you're at a bike night, you don't judge people necessarily on what they ride. As long as they ride, they're all right with you. They're part of your gang, aren't they? And I think that's what's beautiful about the biking community. It's the inclusivity, isn't it? So no one's going to sort of judge you because you've only riding a 250 or whatever bike it might be. Your channel is all about inclusiveness, and that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the bikes that we don't personally like to ride, we appreciate fully that other people, that might be their perfect bike, and that's brilliant. So, we don't discriminate in any way, but we just focus on the bikes that we like for the channel. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like 125s, it's great to see people on a 125 at a bike meet, because we need more of that, you know, new people into motorbikes, and the average age of bikers in the UK is only getting older.
Yeah.
Whereas it should be getting younger.
Yeah, most people at bike meets look like me, you know, it's not a young people's thing, but that's not the fault of, I don't think, the manufacturers. It's a fault of the bureaucracy to get a license.
Yeah.
And the expense of it, you know, it's very, very expensive. I mean, when you were doing your A2, I mean, it was unusual. He did it on a Harley, didn't he?
Yeah.
But you can't just turn up. You can't just hire a bike from a company that does the lessons, so they can just hire a bike for their test. They won't let you. You've got to do the whole course of lessons, so that's expensive. And people that try and do it on their own bike, they sort of ride there and wheel it around the corner and pretend they've, you know, been turned up in a van. And,
yeah, he's been dropped off.
Yeah, so they're wise to that. So it's really difficult to actually to do it cheaply.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah. You know, it wasn't easy doing a test on a Harley either, was it?
No, it wasn't, because it's not really designed for a Harley to go around all these figures of eights and things.
that thing where you've got to turn the bike in a certain space and it's like a car parking space. Well, the Harley's wheelbase is so long it won't even do it.
No, impossible.
So, yeah, the first time they failed you because it wouldn't do it. But it's because the bike wouldn't do it. But the second instructor realised that and said, look, we'll move the cone a bit.
Yeah, it was lucky then.
But I suppose learning on something substantial and powerful, I've always thought, because a friend of mine said about being on a bike big enough to get you out of trouble, which I always thought, not as in like running off from something that you've done wrong, but if you need to get through a gap or you need to get away from something on a motorway to protect your space, I always quite like the idea of that. But I mean, it just reminds me, Darcy, it's akin to me learning to drive in the late 90s in my dad's old Volvo estate, which once you've learned to drive in that, everything else, it seems really manageable. And you think, I feel quite nimble now. So maybe that helped with your riding ability, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, that definitely had an impact on that. But yeah, I mean, I had a 50cc for a couple of years as well. But, you know, even that, I think that 50cc is dangerously slow. I think you should be allowed a 125 at 16.
Yeah, the rules don't really fit the real world, I think. And it's probably only going to get worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack. Let me just have a quick bit of mid-show housekeeping here. This is to remind people of what we're doing. You two are experts at this. If you haven't already, please press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Now, I've got a question here, which is probably too big to fit in the middle of this because it's quite open-ended. But for the both of you, could you sum up what biking is and what bikes are to you?
Yeah. Shall I go first?
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell us off then.
No. Yeah. If I'm given the kind of vibes, I'm in charge. I'm not Darcy, so I can't tell anyone off.
Yes. I mean, for me, it's probably the same for Darcy, but who can tell you? It has to satisfy my soul. It's got to be a beautiful object that I want to look back at and think, oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? Mm. And I think it's something you get more from old bikes, classic bikes, than you do from newer bikes, because they rattle and roll and shake. And it's like, I was thinking, the analogy is like you put a bridle on a dragon and it's this spitting, fire-breathing monster. This is just something else. But it doesn't have to be fast to be engaging.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about motorbikes. And I think a lot of modern bikes have lost that. It's more like putting a bridle on a Labrador. They're kind of much more tame and they're not so exciting. So going fast has absolutely nothing to do for me with motorbiking. It's all about that soul, that character, the style, the feelings, the smell, everything that goes with it that just makes you think, oh, this is wonderful. Like, for instance, I think my favourite bike for that is an old Rickman Matisse, which I don't know if some people won't know what it is, but they're basically, in the 60s, they, you know, to do scrambling, which is motocross now, the standard road bikes, which they would strip, weren't quite good enough. So the Rickman made a frame, stuck in a Triumph parallel twin engine. And those old parallel twin Triumph engines were full of character. They're lovely, sound amazing. And this bike is just, it's just an incredible thing to ride. It's just, cannot believe how good it is. Even though a modern bike would be way faster. Mm. Just think, I don't care. This just makes me feel good. Mm. So that's what motorcycling is for me.
Love it. How am I meant to add to that?
Your dad's laid a marker down there, Dad.
Yeah. I mean, I think the same, but another point would be, you know, in James May's words, it has to give me the fizz.
Yeah.
You know, and that is something that's hard to describe, but, you know, when you get on a bike that does give you that, you just can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And you dream about it and you think, oh, I'm going to have to buy one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said to him in a video, he's got to stop falling in love with bikes. It's getting expensive.
Yeah.
That leads me nicely. Normally at this point, we'll ask our guests to go through the history of their bikes. But I think if we ask you two that question, we're going to be here till next Tuesday. So can I ask what is in the current shed? And I hope you've got some impressive bikes, because your passion is coming through the screen to me in terms of, you know, I love the fact what you said there about if I park my bike up, if I don't at least look back three times as I walk away, then I don't love that bike enough. And I think everything you've said, the both of you so far, just encapsulates the passion you have for biking. But what is in your current stable of bikes then? What bikes have you got between you?
Well, it's pretty small at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, in terms of owning, yeah. We've only got, I've got a Royal Enfield Bullet 500 Trials.
Nice.
Which I bought a year ago, which is basically just for the back lanes, for the local journeys, going to get a bottle of wine or a takeaway, going up the road, pat a horse, just chill out for a few hours, you know, with a coffee somewhere. That's all it's for. And Darcy just bought...
Well, I've just bought a 26-year-old Royal Enfield Bullet 500, which is... Oh, I love it. It's because it's literally like the same bike that they were in the 50s. They didn't change anything. So it's like a new old bike.
Yeah.
And it's only done, when I bought it, 230 miles.
Really?
So it's been sat in someone's living room for 20 years. So it's immaculate.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it's nice. Like you said earlier, I think the perception of bikers to non-bikers is, oh, look at these idiots tearing around driving 180 miles an hour. It's not about speed. Like you said, it's not about getting from A to B quickly. It's about going from A and not even knowing where B is going to end up. And it's just enjoying that ride. And by the sounds of you both, the bikes you've got, it's the passion, isn't it? It's the fact that those bikes stir the emotions within you.
Totally. And the other bikes are in the garage. We've got two Harleys from Harley Davidson UK. So we've got a Fat Boy and a Breakout, which we absolutely love. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
So we've got them on long-term loan. So we're doing a sort of whole series of videos on those. They're just starting to filter in now onto the channel. Mm-hmm. We've got two customized Harleys from Sykes, which are off the scale. Yeah, one is this loud, so what's it called? Cholo style.
Yeah.
I think massive long exhaust, like shark fin exhaust, shark tail exhaust. sounds incredible. Mm-hmm. People hate it because it's so loud. And then this sort of black 1950s inspired by Harley, fantastic, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's made to look like an old Hydroglide, but it's based on a street bob. Wow.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, and we got a Triumph Scrambler 1200 XE in there as well. It's going back next week, and a bear.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's kind of mine, but it does belong to Royal Enfield. Mm. But I've had it for over a year.
You just not mentioning the fact that you've got it. That's it. Like, yeah. Don't tell them. We're fine.
Yeah, don't tell. I've
forgotten about it.
Yeah. I love the fact at the start of that question. You said, "Yeah, we haven't really got much at the moment. You've listed about 9 bikes." Yeah. That just says everything. Love it.
That's the thing. But it's hard for us to own too much. You know, I'd like to buy another one, but if we take up too much space, then you know, we haven't got that space.
That's the thing. The privilege of having a channel, and I know it's the same for other creators in our sphere. Is obviously press will send you a bike. So we can have bikes from the press that are wonderful, that we enjoy. So the bikes we own don't have to be the same or scratch the same itch.
Yeah.
And if we were, say, if we decided we wanted to do a tour down to France or Spain, we could say to Harley Davidson, could we borrow a couple of touring bikes? And they would probably say yes. So we can choose bikes depending on what we want to do, which is a wonderful privileged position to be in. I know yeah, it's great to have that privilege, really, isn't it? Yeah.
I wonder if you can see the envy on mine and Ewan's face as you're talking about all this.
I'm sure. We'll put a word in for you.
You're talking about, obviously, what's filtering on the channel and what, again, when we've spoken to, as you say, James, people in your sphere, it's not a just chuck things at the internet and see what happens. I take it there's a fair bit of planning with regards to what bike, where you may be taking that bike, what trips might be involving said motorcycle. Do you get quite far ahead, both of you, with this is what we're doing in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months?
Well, I've heard, no.
No.
We do wing it a bit, actually.
So completely against what I've just said there, you are just winging it. I love it. I love people that wing it.
Yeah, we had a bit. Unusually, we've got about 6 weeks worth of videos already filmed, edited, and in the pipe.
Wow.
Line.
Yeah.
But that's not always been the case. Sometimes we're literally on the cuff, like, we've got to do a video for Thursday. You know, what can we do?
Yeah.
But we're a bit more ahead than usual.
Yeah, I think because we've had some nice weather, we just sort of go, right, let's film every day.
Yeah, get a bank of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But when it's in the winter, you're really pushing it. Like, it's icy, or, you know, how are we going to get a video out?
But we do plan the ideas, the creative side of it, more than anything. And what angle we're going to throw at the video and then try and do that. That's all sort of where we sit.
But I mean, we try and plan, like, if we're doing a big trip, we'll plan that in advance.
Yeah. We last year, I don't know if you saw it, we went to India for the second time.
That was what we were about to ask, yeah.
Oh, right. Should we tell you that?
Yeah, you, James, you can, mate. Yeah, go on.
Well, basically, the first time we went, it was an organised trip by Vintage Rides. They're brilliant. And it was a life-changing experience. But the second time, we just got Royal Enfield lent us 2 Bear 650s. We started in Goa at the Bike Fest. What's it called?
Motorverse
Festival, which is incredible. Yeah, big Royal Enfield festival. Then we just wanted to get from there to Mumbai, completely ad hoc, nothing planned. So we just, every night was like, where can we stay? We had to find somewhere to stay. And sometimes we'd close to not finding somewhere. And it was just the experience of going somewhere. We had no idea where we were going, just sort of put a destination, random destination in that direction, and off we went.
Yeah. And sometimes you'd ask 3 hotels and they go, no, we're full. Mm. You think, oh, my God.
We were close to sleeping rough a few times, actually.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow, wee.
What an adventure.
Getting to like 11 at night and you think, we still haven't got it.
Yeah.
What an adventure to do, father and son, though. And in terms of India, I know you've done Thailand as well. You know, in certain countries, I think bikes are regarded differently, aren't they? They are just a mode of transport. How were you received? Let's take India, for example, because I know I've seen your videos. You were swamped, and I saw one bit where you're looking for a petrol station. You know, it's a different way of life over there. So you're turning up on these big bikes. How are motorcyclists regarded out there in India, for example?
Well, I think in India, it's a way of life. And everyone's got a motorbike, you know, and a lot of them are Hero Splendors, which are like, that's like the biggest, it's like a tractor almost, but it's only a tiny little 125, but it's people with, you know, fridge on the back and six people on one bike.
Plank of wood and 10 bottles of water.
Yeah. But the reception from Indian people is amazing. They're so friendly. And you get to a town, they see you on a bike and they want to give you foods. They want to, you know, come stay in my house, come for dinner. And we did eat dinner, didn't we, on the street?
Yeah, we did.
With about 70 odd people. It was amazing.
Weddings last like a week there. So they invited us in to eat. I mean, they're wonderful people. But I mean, even on the farms, like you can ride anywhere in India down a farm track, and there's no restrictions. All the people that work on the land ride little motorbikes, don't they? Usually heroes.
Yeah.
But Royal Enfield there is the sort of pinnacle. It's the Harley of India, because it's the one most people aspire to. But yeah, I mean, say it's funny because in most of the world, if you go past another biker, you either nod or do that, or you know, in India you couldn't do it because 95% of people are on motorbikes.
Yeah,
head before off.
Then in the neck brace at the end.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not a thing, is it?
No,
it's fascinating to hear that, and whenever I watch. Or you get the privilege of watching travelogues and motorcycle expeditions. And I don't know whether it makes you look at England and this part of the world in a slightly more cynical way, because there is that inherent thing, isn't it, where if I saw a couple of fellas on a motorbike coming through the village, my first instinct wouldn't be, do you want to come for tea? You'd wave and that would be about it, because we're English and we don't like talking to strangers. But over there, I'm making it too much of a stereotype in different parts of the world, but it seems like there's a real open-armed kind of joy in receiving strangers. We spoke to Elspeth Beard, who won a wonderful kind of traveller from a different generation, and she mentions the kind of the same thing of that vulnerability of being on a bike in certain parts of the world. That opens people up to you more than anything else, I think.
Yeah. I was going to say, in India, they treat visitors as a god. So you turn up, they treat you like a god, which is a wonderful way of thinking. I mean, we've ridden through villages where we would high five everyone through the village.
Yeah.
And some of that's on camera. I mean, it's just incredible that, you know, people in the back of tractors are just coming back from working on the fields, you know, high five.
Yeah.
Like, it's brilliant. I mean, it's a totally different way of thinking and of being as a human being to the Western world, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to treat foreigners as God.
Especially after what Brits did to India. I mean, that's remarkable.
Really. Yeah, it is. It's amazing.
Right then, chaps. I've got a little quiz for you now. Obviously, we've asked you a lot of questions anyway, but this is a bit more of a bijou kind of quickfire one. We're going to do our quickfire round. Now, we've got several questions. I'm going to give you a minute, and I'll tell you how we'll do this. Ewan and I will ask questions one after the other. And if we go Darcy to answer, then James to answer for each separate question, does that work for you guys? I mean, don't worry. This will not make or break this podcast. It's just a bit of fun. It sounds like a test, doesn't it? Right, what we've spoken about for the last 40 minutes, so we're going to test you on that. But no, so I'm going to give you a minute to answer these questions. And if you answer loads of them, fantastic. The world's a wonderful, shining place. Sound up for it?
Perfect.
Yeah, sounds good.
Right, Ewan, I'll get the stopwatch ready and you get ready with the first question, okay?
Okay.
So this is our quickfire round for Mr. Darcy and the old man, and your time starts now.
Who was your motorcycling hero growing up?
Stefan Everts, motocross champion.
Darcy, what poster did you have on your bedroom wall?
A Ferrari.
James, American bikes or British bikes?
Both.
Darcy, what's the most annoying thing about working with your dad?
Oof. Some of his ideas sometimes.
Here we go, I'll flip it. What's the most annoying thing about working with your son?
Censoring my ideas.
Darcy, Indian or a Harley?
Oh, both, but I haven't ridden enough Indians to know the whole range, but I've ridden all the Harleys, so it's hard to say. I like both.
James, I think I know the answer to this. Indian or Chinese takeaway?
Oh, Indian.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Worst part about being a biker?
I don't know.
Being cold in the winter.
Yeah, being cold in the winter.
Being cold across the board. Right, time's up, chaps. Oh. Well done.
Oh, I was really looking forward to the next question.
Go on,
I'm joking. What was your favourite animal? What is it?
Well, probably a dog or a horse.
Got to be a dog. Yeah.
We've got one here. I've never seen it.
Yeah. Oh, look, there we go. Right, so that in my head is 9. I mean, again, we should have a leaderboard somewhere, but we don't. So in the context of how well you've done, chaps, 9 sounds good to me. So well done.
9 sounds good to me, unless you're German. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the question we love to ask. So final question time, but you please draw it out as long as you can, because it's going to be a good one from you two. I know it is. We want to know what your fantasy ride would be. So you can ride anywhere in the world. You can be riding any bike you choose. You can be with whom you want. And what would be your soundtrack? So what would be ringing through your ears if there was any music? So I'm assuming you would probably go together, but you can both answer this. So your dream ride, where you're going, what bike you on, who are you with? And are you listening to music?
Well, I've got 2 answers in my head, but I'll give you the first one because I've never been there before. So I'd love to do a sort of tour around California and Arizona and see the Grand Canyon and things like that. And I'd love to do that on some kind of Harley or an Indian. And I don't really listen to music when I'm riding, but I suppose if I was to pick a soundtrack, it'd have to be something that echoed with the landscape. So probably like Pink Floyd or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. My turn. It would definitely be in India, southern India, beautiful, hot, wonderful place, riding through Kerala, Karnataka, on a characterful old Rick and Matisse, I've mentioned that before. Something with all that character that will go anywhere.
Nice to get one of those out there.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. But what the beauty of India is, around every corner, something will impress you or surprise you. So there's so many things to stop at and look at and speak to. And masala chai, lovely food, interesting people. They welcome you in. It's just a fascinating trip of, you know, amazing things that just keep coming at you. India is just so intense. And soundtrack, we'd probably make a video about it, so I would put a soundtrack on afterwards. So what's that Indian chap that died?
Siddhi Meswala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the track.
Rapper.
Because it would go with the video. It's brilliant. Yeah, it's an Indian rapper. It's brilliant music, actually.
Yeah.
But if music-wise, I like to listen to sort of old jazz funk, like Clear with 3 E's. That sort of music. Yeah, that would be it.
We have never had anyone say jazz music, India. I mean, it's just...
Or that's Indian why rap.
That's why I love this question, because it's so personal to everybody. So, and would you be going together? Would you go on each other's tour, or how would that work? Or would you go solo?
For those, definitely.
Yeah, it's nice to together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to have someone with you. On your own, it's a different experience, I think. With Darcy, obviously, we know what each other thinks as well. So it makes life easier, doesn't it? Because I know what he's going to react to things, and vice versa. And the way we ride, so we kind of, there's an intuition going on there as well. So if you ride with strangers, you don't know what they're going to do next. But you know, we do, don't we? So that helps.
Yeah, it does.
I think, I mean, it's 2 glorious answers, chaps, and 2 that dovetail in amazingly well. I'm intrigued to see what you might think of this, or what he feels about it. Because we've never had this dynamic on here to be able to chat, and without getting too existential for a midday during the course of a week, being a dad, having a dad, growing up, becoming an older person, and you're watching your kids grow. Just something, this is such a lovely dynamic that you've got. My little lad's 14 and my old man's 82, 83. So that's as your life changes and you get older. So your approach to what you think you are as a fella and what you want to be as a dad and what you want to be as you get older. And just hearing you two and that lovely, easygoing nature that you've got, there's an appreciation of both where you are. There's an appreciation there because obviously those family ties never get broken. Does this hit you at any time when you're out and about riding through India or chatting about content, and I just look at each other and think, do you know what? This is pretty cool, isn't it? To be able to share this as father and son.
Definitely. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. With my dad, I mean, my parents split up when I was about three. So I never really had that close relationship. And I think that's why probably I wanted to make sure that didn't happen with Darcy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've made sure it hasn't happened and we do everything together. So, yeah, that's probably in the back of my mind.
It's lovely. As Prats knows, I took my eldest's first ever football game last week with me, and it stirred so many emotions because my dad used to take me to football when I was a little lad, and, you know, I don't see my dad much anymore, you know, and it's just, like Prats said, the dynamic you've got, please never take it for granted, because it's so special and it's so lovely and refreshing to see that you're clearly good mates, you've got the same passions, and you do it together, and it's so nice. And I only can pray, my boy is going to be into bikes, I've got three boys, my eldest is into motorbikes already, but I only pray that I'm still riding when he's old enough to pass his test and I can go on tours with him, because what you've got has been an absolutely joy to share with everyone who's watching and listening to this today. They're going to absolutely love this episode.
It's been great. Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. You just remind us, how old are your kids? You've got three under what?
Yeah, 2, 4, and 7. So yeah, I've got a long way to go yet.
You and Thomas lives in a zoo.
Yeah.
Are they good at running as well, Ewan?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd like, yeah, to be honest with you, my eldest is pretty fast, but my middle one is only 4 and he's an absolute unit. He's nearly as big as my 7-year-old. So I think he's going to be a rugby player, and the little one, I don't know what he's going to do, but I've said to them all along, my missus wants him to have a trampoline. I've said, no, too dangerous. Horses, never. Motorbikes, that's okay. And she's like, how can you have a motorbike? I said, listen, it's different. So my boys will be bikers, that's for certain.
It's interesting. My half-sister, she was into horses growing up. We didn't live together, but, you know, at weekends. But horses are, you know, I love horses too, but they are more dangerous because they got a brain and they're scared of everything. So, you know, the horse usually thinks the wrong thing, whereas the motorbike, it's your brain. It's what you do with the twist of the grip that really matters. And I know other people are involved, you know, on the roads, but essentially is your decision, whereas a horse has got a decision-making brain as well, which
doesn't work
the very best, does it?
But to be fair, given it's myself and you and that we're doing this podcast, chaps, we were originally going to call it Brainless, but I don't think it would have caught on too much. But unfortunately, that is about it for this week's Full Chat, powered by Bikeshow. As the UK's largest independent motorcycle insurance broker, Bikeshow will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save money on your annual bike, scooter, or moped insurance, and of course, so much more.
I can honestly say this has been an absolute joy. I've thoroughly enjoyed this episode. So thank you very much to our special guests. I'm going to refer to them as they are known on social media. It is, of course, Mr. Darcy and the old man. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure too. Thank you.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff, chaps. Don't forget to press the subscribe button on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or you can press the follow button on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. You and help me out.
You don't need any help, mate. We love you. And thank you to everybody who's listened as ever. Until next time, take care.